Joyce, thank you very much for that. That was pretty funny, and she reminded me about the Smothers Brothers earlier, and I don't know if many of you are old enough to remember them, but they were pretty wild and crazy. I know, you saw it on Nick at Night or something, right? Oh my. Today's message is about Mother's Day, and I'll start off with our scripture reading. It comes from the chapter of Luke. I'm reading out of the New International Version. And I'm going to read verses 22 to Luke 2, 22 to 35, and 39 to 52. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the customary law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people of Israel. The child's father and mother were marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of the heart of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee in their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. They began looking for him amongst their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus replied, Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The reading of the Word of God for the people of God. In getting ready for today, when I selected that passage, I remember myself when I was a kid, if I kind of got hung up in looking something at a department store, I'm sure something in the toy aisle or whatever, and I didn't pay attention to where my parents were, if they had gone around the corner and I wasn't behind them, they soon found me. They didn't wait any period of time at all. I can't imagine the anxiety that Mary and Joseph both must have felt when they had left Jerusalem and they used to go to the Feast of the Passover in large groups. And I looked in the map in the back of my Bible here, and as my thumb scales out, it looked to be about 80 or so miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. That's quite a trek, and that's just as the crow flies, not with all the mountains and hills to cover. So can you imagine being in a whole group of people heading back home after the Passover and realizing at the end of the day that, hey, our son's not with us. And I'm sure they were quite anxious. they had traveled a day, then they had to travel back that day's worth of time, and then it was 3 days more before they found him. 5 days without knowing where your son was. I think they handled it very well. This morning, in preparation for today's message, I've had the opportunity to know that this was going to happen for about a month and a half or 2 months now. And it was nice to pick Mother's Day because, as I said earlier, this is an anniversary for myself. And I'm very grateful to be standing here today to be able to speak to you. So, not really knowing exactly what to talk about, but knowing that I wanted to honor moms everywhere, all of our moms, grandmoms and great-grandmoms and all the rest of them, and I was decided to do a little research on the history of Mother's Day and how it came about. Now, Mother's Day used to be a celebration of goddesses and symbols rather than actual mothers. One of the earliest records of society celebrating Mother's Day, or the mother deity, is found upon the ancient Egyptians, who held an annual festival in the honor of goddess Isis. Isis had given birth to her son named Horus, who became the first ruler of the unified Egypt. And this is how she became known as the mother of the pharaohs. Now, the festival of Isis was also celebrated by the Romans to commemorate an important battle and also to mark the beginning of winter. It was a three-day festival in which female dancers, musicians, and singers performed. There is a Clybe, or Magna Mater, which means Great Mother, which stems from the Greek goddess Rhea, who was the mother of most of the major deities, including Zeus. The festival was celebrated around the time of the vernal equinox. Other societies also worshipped goddesses, and a couple of them were Gaia, the mother of or the earth goddess, rather, and Meteori, the mother mountain. Europe, over a period of time, had a holiday to honor motherhood, and it was held on the fourth Sunday of Lent. And it was used as a day to honor the church that the people were originally baptized in, known as their mother church. In the 1600s, England expanded the celebration to include real mothers, and they called it Mothering Day. Servants and trade workers were allowed to travel to their hometowns, their families, to see their families, and cakes and flowers were amongst most of the gifts that were given, as well as the children's presents with their mother. And when the English settlers that came to the United States first came over, one of the major things that they wanted to do was to break away from the traditions of England. And Mothering Day ceased to exist. Partly because they wanted to break away from the existing traditions, but also because they lived under such harsh, cruel conditions back in those days that they had to do everything they could to just survive, working long, long hours and daily. So they decided that they would focus their holidays around Christmas and Easter.